Tony Eason got here and perceptions seemed to change. All anyone could talk about was my toughness. I remember telling Tony one time that the worst thing they did to him was keep me around after they made him the starter. Everyone just compared him to me, and it wasn't fair. He was probably as good as me or better, but he didn't have that toughness, and everyone let him know it. Like most of the guys I played with, I considered the 1976 team the best I'd ever been on. That was the Patriots team that should have won the Super Bowl. The playoff game in Oakland, we got robbed. But with the players we had, we thought we would be playing for championships for a long time. Then a lot of things started happening, and it just didn't get done. We were popular at times, but nothing like it is now. That's probably the biggest difference. Today, the Pats are equal to the Red Sox. For most of my career, we weren't even close. We were actually the fourth team in town, behind the Celtics and Bruins, too. I thought the first time we climbed the totem pole, the first time football got the attention it deserved around here, was in 1985 when we went to the Super Bowl. I remember driving to the airport to go play Miami in the AFC Championship game and seeing people stop their cars on I-95 as we drove by, waving and honking all the way to the airport. It was a great feeling. We filled up the stadium for a few years after that, and then it seemed to go in the other direction. I finally had to retire after the 1990 season, which was a really dreadful year. Bill Parcells came a few years later, and it's been top of the rung ever since. As a former player, it's been fun to watch what's gone on in the last few years under Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick. It's amazing to see the facility they have now. I just recently saw the locker rooms at Gillette Stadium for the first time, and I admit, I took an extra second in the showers. They were huge. At Foxborough Stadium, the hot water ran out after a few minutes. I'll be honest, the first emotion I had when they won the Super Bowl in 2001 was envy, jealousy. I saw them running around the field and the confetti falling down, and all I could think about was that we were that close. Still, after they beat St. Louis, it was the first time I felt good about putting on a Patriots hat since I retired. It was nice letting people know that I was one of the people who laid the groundwork for that, in a previous life, of course. The recent success has led more and more people to look back at the previous life of the entire team. And they should. It's a rich history. I get a lot of dads who come into my sporting goods store, grab their kids, and point them in my direction. Do you know who this guy is? Do you know what he did? And the kids have no idea. I'm just the old guy working in the store. One day I waited on a lady for about 20 minutes trying to find exactly what she needed. After I went behind the counter to write up the order, she turned to me and said, "Does Steve Grogan really own this place?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am, he does." Then she asked, "Does he actually come into the store?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am, he's here every day." She recognized the name, but she had no idea it was me. I finally had to tell her. I get that a lot. For some reason, I don't think Tom Brady has the same problem. Steve Grogan, Mansfield, Massachusetts, July 2006. Introduction. Today I stood in the Rose Garden at the White House, some 20 feet away from the leader of the free world. It was a scorching spring day, and as the cameras rolled, President George W. Bush traded light barbs with Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick, and dozens of Patriots players. Everyone was sweating beneath their suits. No one seemed to care. For the second time in 3 years, the Patriots were being honored as NFL champions, and the experience didn't seem redundant to anyone. Bush's first two words brought a smile to everyone's face. "Welcome back," said the president. After his speech, I made my way through the White House press room and out onto the South Lawn, where I talked with Kraft and a handful of players on the spot normally reserved for heads of state and government dignitaries. Then I made my way out the wrought iron fence on Pennsylvania Avenue, jumped in a cab, and flew home to Boston. Ho-hum, another day covering the Patriots. Championship parades and White House visits, that's the Patriots' world right now.